Father, we thank you for the time of rejoicing in Christ as we are reminded of his supremacy, his importance, his faithfulness, your goodness to us through him. We lift this time up to you, Lord, as we look into your word today, that you would teach us your word, that you would give us instruction to make us wise and give us understanding. I pray, Lord, as your word is read today and as we contemplate on it, maybe meditate on it to some extent here, I pray that your word would grant purification, that you would wash us clean and that you would cleanse us, that your word would drive us to you, give us a greater understanding of how great you are, how extensive your love is toward us. Lord, the worth and the value that you bring to our life. We pray, Father, that your word would cause us to have faith. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help us to grow in that respect. I pray maybe there's one here today, they're struggling with something in life. Maybe sin, maybe adversity, maybe something, Lord, that nobody else knows. We pray that your word would be an atoning factor today, that your word would cover their sin. And Lord, that you today would encourage them and strengthen them and make your face to shine upon them. Father, we pray today that your word would be magnified, that it would be lifted up as we simply look into your word. We pray that it would speak to us, that you would open our eyes, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We'll take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. A number of thoughts going through my mind right now. A few sayings that came to mind. I feel in many ways, have you ever watched those shows where they give someone a shopping cart and they say, here's a shopping cart, you have 5 minutes now to run through the store and get as much as you want. And you see people struggling over which items to pick. I feel like that in some ways with Psalm 119. What parts to look at, what parts not to look at. And once again, we could easily do a 22-part series on this psalm, taking 8 verses at a time and expounding them. In some ways, I wanted to say we're going to attempt the impossible today, but I would say we're not going to attempt the impossible today. We are not going to cover the fullest extent of Psalm 119. We are going to get through this psalm today in certain parts, but there's no way that we can cover everything here. In fact, I sat down and read the psalm again yesterday, and it will take about 15 or 20 minutes for you to read through this psalm if you're a slow reader like I am. And so we're not going to do that today either, but I'll trust that you maybe have been reading through this psalm, and I would trust that you would take the time to not only read through the psalm but meditate on this psalm, and that you would do like the psalmist says, that you would hide it in your heart. Augustine had a great statement about this psalm, and Augustine or Augustine, that is a great debate that goes on, the pronunciation of that. It reminds me of a funeral one time I was doing at a previous church, and I was doing it for the mother of 2 sons, and I knew one of the sons very well, and the other son, I'd heard his name several times, and it was spelled H-A-L, and so you would pronounce that Hal, and you would be wrong. It was not Hal, it was Howl, which is what I said, but I made sure to get it right. And so Augustine or Augustine, you choose, you're probably right either way. I say Augustine. Augustine had a great statement about Psalm 119. He said, Psalm 119 does not need an expositor, it simply needs a preacher and listeners. A preacher and listeners. A preacher as in the word to proclaim or to state. And so simply today, I am a proclaimer of Psalm 119, and I pray that we will all be listeners. myself included in that. And I have been trying and attempting to listen to Psalm 119. So last week, if you didn't have a chance to be here, I would encourage you to go back and listen to, yes, the 1 hour message on the introduction to Psalm 119, which, by the way, did not use one notch on the battery. So we have plenty of battery left for today as well. But I would encourage you to go back and look at the idea of the psalmist and the beauty of the law of the Lord. So there are numerous words that are used in this psalm, the commandments, the testimonies, the word of God, all these different things. And so we're going to use interchangeably the idea of the law of the Lord and the word of the Lord. All those statements have certain areas that cover over each other. They have nuances that are specific to them as well. The law of the Lord is distinct from the word of the Lord, but yet they do cross over in certain areas. And I'm going to use them for today's message anyways. I'm going to use them a little bit interchangeably because you're probably more used to me saying something like the word of God. Okay. So when I think of Psalm 119, I was looking through in numerous sermons and outlines for Psalm 119. I thought maybe today we would just, I thought maybe I would take parts of Psalm 119 and I would organize them for us to consider today. And so I want to look at three aspects of the Word of God. I want to look at it from the idea of its nature and its character as addressed by the psalmist in Psalm 119. I want to look at it not only by the nature of the Word of God itself, but I want to look at how it blesses us or the blessings of the Word of God. And then, in essence, I want to look at how we respond to the Word of God. And so the nature, and these are all parts of this psalm, the nature or the characteristic of the Word of God, the character of the Word of God, the idea of how it blesses us, because the psalm begins with the idea of blessing with regard to the law of the Lord. And then what do we do with it? What does God expect from us? And so I'm going to be very simple today, and you may want to try and write these down, but there are close to 90 verses that we will read today, all from Psalm 119, and that's almost only half of the psalm. Once again, this psalm is almost more than two times the length of the longest psalm other than Psalm 119. And in average, if you average all the psalms together, this would be equivalent to 22 psalms within the Psalter. And so I'm going to simply begin with the idea that the law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. Some of these verses are going to overlap some, and you'll see that. But let me give you something to think about. First of all, that means that the Word of God is righteous, that it is correct, that it is just, it's right. Think of this, for example, in Psalm 119, verse 7. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. When we learn the Word of God and we learn His righteous judgments, His righteous word, His correct word, His just word, then we are able to worship the Lord and give thanks to God with an upright heart. Psalm 119, verse 75. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Man, that's a tough verse. And at least four times within the Psalms, I didn't collect these together under a title, but at least four times in this psalm, the psalmist talks about the idea of affliction. And that God was just in causing affliction, and that God used the affliction for good. For we know that God works all things together for good for those that love Him, right? We know that. And so the psalmist, after he had learned the righteous judgments of God, he had a right and upright heart, and he could say, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Some afflict us with faithlessness. God afflicts us with faithfulness. He brings discipline into our lives, not to harm us, but to bring good into our life. He is always right there in the midst of the affliction that takes place in our life. And it is to bring us closer to Him. And I would say this, whatever affliction you are going through, whether it's something of the past or something you're going through right now, or we know there are afflictions lying ahead for us, do we not? We are living in an imperfect world. And we shall be persecuted. We shall face tribulation. Do not be surprised by that. Do not be caught off guard by that. But God is faithful and He is upright. And no matter what we go through, it's better than what we deserve. That's tough. That's a tough statement for me to say. Because I know some of you are afflicted right now. And you're hurting. And that is not meant to bring harm or to push you down further. It just reminds us to look to God for His grace and His mercy. And no matter how bad it seems, we recognize that God is kind to us. Because I do not deserve His goodness. Psalm 119, 123. My eyes fail with longing for your salvation and for your righteous word. My eyes are looking for your righteous word. In a land of unrighteousness, our eyes long for the righteous word of God, the truth. Psalm 119, 137. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. All your discernment, O God, is fair and just and right and upright and good. God says, my ways are not your ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. And there are times when things don't go our way that we question God, do we not? If we're honest, we question God. We at least are faced with the temptation to question God. But we should be like the psalmist who knows the word of God, recognizes that the word of God is upright and just. We should say, righteous are you, O Lord. Read the book of Job. Read the book of Job. God uses Job to prove that he is a righteous man. Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the land? Let me allow him to be afflicted. Let me allow him to go through difficulty. And you will see indeed that he is what I say that he is. He is upright. And the whole time, Job is saying to God, you are righteous, I am unrighteous, I do not deserve your goodness. Who is man to speak back to God? And so the law of the Lord is perfect in that it is righteous. It's perfect in that it is good and valuable and wonderful. The word of God is good. Psalm 119, 39. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Now, we live in a culture where good is not good enough, isn't it? I was thinking about this sometimes that when we're doing a job, just this last week, I said, how does it look? Looks pretty good. No, we're not going for pretty good. Especially on this job, we're not going for pretty good. We're going for excellent. And we live in a land and in a culture where good is just something that's minimal. But go back to the beginning of the book of Genesis and you'll recognize all that God does is good. It carries more than the idea that we have in mind with good in our language. It has the idea that it is right, that it is complete, that it is perfect, that it's beneficial. All these things come to mind. The word of God, His ordinances are good. Once again, they are for our good. Psalm 119:72. The law of the Lord, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Better. The word of God is better. It's better than anything. In fact, it goes to the next level. Psalm 119:129. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul observes them. It's like when you go to the store sometimes, you see the good, the better, and the best. The word of God is good, it's better, and it's wonderful, it's the best. It fulfills all the categories that you can think of. The word of God is good and valuable and wonderful. The word of God is perfect in that it is faithful, trustworthy, and reliable. faithful, trustworthy, and reliable. Psalm 119, 86. All your commandments are faithful. All of them. All of your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me, O Lord. Psalm 119, 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. I love how the psalmist speaks of eternity here. Not only is the word of God settled, not only in the past and the present, but for all of eternity, God's word stands true. Jesus, when he responded to Satan in the temptations in the wilderness, he said, "It is written." And the way that that is written in the original language is the idea of a perfect tense, which means it was true in the past, it's true today, and it will always be true. That's God's word. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119, 142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. It's correct. It's right. Psalm 119, 144. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. That's what we need. We need understanding of God's word. That's what we need. We don't need to go to the local community college and take another class. We need the word of God and understanding from God to understand his word applied to our life. Psalm 119, 151. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. There's not one of them that is false. Not one of them that we should erase or modify. They are all true. Psalm 119, 160. The sum of your word is truth. The word comprised together is truth. Listen, if you take one part of the word of God away, you have to question the whole corpus of the word of God. If you begin to say, well, part of it's true and part of it isn't, which part are we going to believe and which part are we not going to believe? We believe that the word of God reflects a perfect God. And he has preserved his word for us. The word of God is perfect in that it is broad and boundless. Broad. Here's a verse from Psalm 104, verse 25, to give us an idea of what this word broad means. There is the sea, great and broad. Well, we recently went to Europe and came back. And as we flew for several hours over the water, we saw that the ocean indeed is broad. And we only saw a little smidgen of it. And yet I would say to you that the word of God is broader than anything that we can comprehend. Your word, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. That's what God says. And it is broad. Psalm 119, 96. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. Every job we do, I get to the end of it and I see something that we should have done. We have never done a perfect job. We've had many people that don't look at things the way that we look at them and they say, man, that is excellent. That's perfect. And yet I will say to you, I have never done a construction job where I walked away and said, it's perfect. Never. We strive for perfection, but we cannot achieve perfection apart from Christ. He is the only perfect one. God himself is the perfect one. And the word of God is perfect in that it is broad. It is complete. It covers everything. There is no limit to the word of God. I have seen a limit to all perfection everywhere around me. I see imperfections. There are imperfections in here. I don't want to draw your attention to them, but there are imperfections in here. I began to think about the idea. I struggle with perfectionism. I used to struggle with it a lot more. And I came to realize there is nothing that's perfect except God. And there is a time when we have to say it's okay for something not to be perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect either. God is perfect. The Word of God is perfect in that it is sweet and pure. Here we go. Listen to Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. As I was digging in the Word yesterday, and I was meditating on that the Word of God is sweeter than honey, I was reminded that my wife had gone through the cabinet and was cleaning it out and had put a jar. She put some things on the counter and said, eat these first. You ever do that? You know, if you get a hankering for this, make sure you grab this one first. And there was a jar of honey on the counter. In my mind, I thought, let's see how sweet honey is. Hadn't tasted it in a while. So I went out, opened it up, put a teaspoon in there, and stuck the whole thing in my mouth. And I was like, that is sweet. Yet, I will say to you, I said to myself, but the Word of God is sweeter. The Word of God is sweeter. No matter what sweet thing you think about, sweet thing or sweet thing you think about, God is sweeter. Amen? He is sweeter. How sweet are your words to my taste? Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 119, 140. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. Pure. So the word of God, the law of the Lord, is perfect. Secondly, the law of the Lord blesses. Psalm 119, 1. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. True blessing comes from the idea of seeking God and finding him in his word. And so let's think about some of the blessings associated with the law of the Lord or the word of God. First of all, it grants, promotes, and sustains purity. It brings purity to our hearts. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? Clean. The same word for to be clean. How can we stay clean before God? Unspotted, unblemished. How can we keep our way pure? By keeping it according to God's word. God's word is what keeps us clean. And Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9 asks a very good question. Who can say, I have cleansed my own heart? None of us. Only God's atoning work can bring purity. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. I've hidden your word in my heart so that I don't transgress against God, so that I might maintain my purity before him. Psalm 119, 13. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. God, hold me back from myself. Psalm 119, 133. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Numerous times within the psalm, in this particular psalm, the psalmist says, I love your word, I keep your word, I hide your word, I long for your word. But he also balances it all with the idea, God, help me. It's not a strength in his own that he finds here, it's a strength in God. So the word of God maintains purity for us. The word of God blesses us by giving us, secondly, revelation, wisdom, and understanding. The revelation of God is in the word of God. There is a sense of general revelation. When you walk around and you see God's creation, and I would remind us that the greatest creation that God has made is mankind. Mankind, and that mankind is the only one that bears the image of God. There is a representation of God in his creation, but it does not lead to salvation. Only special revelation, the word of God, leads us to salvation. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So the word of God is blessing us through revelation, wisdom, understanding. Psalm 119, 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. It reminded me as I was thinking of numerous verses that are associated with each one of these verses. It reminded me of Jesus when he was teaching, and his teachings were difficult, and many people left him. And he turned to his disciples and he said, "Are you also going to leave me?" in John chapter 6. And Peter answers in verse 68 and says, "To whom shall we go? For you have the word of life." It's the word of God that reveals wonderful things to us. We are forfeiting the opportunity to see wonderful things by not spending time in the word of God. And listen, they're not just surface things. It will take you, listen, gold is not just on the surface. You have to dig down for the gold, do you not? And the word of God has treasures that are hidden, and you have to dig for them. You have to meditate on the word of God. You have to delve into it. And when you do, you will find wonderful things. Psalm 119:98. "Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine." I love this section. "I have more insight than all my teachers." This was a great encouragement to me in seminary. When I looked at my professors, who I was astounded by, I was amazed by them. And yet sometimes I would go to them and I would ask them questions and I'd say, "I don't know about that." And I recognized that wisdom doesn't come from a degree. Wisdom comes from knowing the Word of God. The Word of God. And you, by the way, have the same Spirit of God that I have and that a professor has at seminary. And God can speak to you just as clearly as he does to anybody else. And God will give you wisdom beyond your years if you will learn the word of God. "For your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged." Listen, wisdom doesn't come simply by age. I would pray that wisdom comes as we get older. I would pray we become more wiser. But it's not going to happen just because we got older. It's because we spent years meditating and learning the word of God. "I understand more than the aged because I observe your precepts." Psalm 119:104. "From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." Psalm 119:130. "The unfolding of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple." You want understanding? Turn to the word of God, for it is the revelation of God. The word of God blesses us through revival and strength and salvation and comfort. Are you hurting today? The word of God is a balm to every hurt that we have. Listen to me. It is a healing force in our lives. The word of God. Those times when I have hurt the most, the best healing I ever got was from the word of God. Psalm 119:25. "My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Make me alive according to your word. In conjunction with your word. On the basis of your word. Make me alive. I feel dead. I feel sterile. I feel dead to God." How are you going to become alive to God? The word of God. Psalm 119:28. "My soul weeps because of grief." Are you weeping? Are you struggling? "Strengthen me according to your word." Not just strengthen me, but strengthen me according to your word. Time in the word of God. Psalm 119:32. "I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart." Philippians 2:13. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." You see the psalmist and his dependency upon God? "I will run the way of your commandments. Oh Lord, enlarge my heart for your word." Psalm 119:37. "Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity." We are all guilty of this. Vanity, vanity. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity, vanity. All things around us, many things are vanity. "And revive me in your ways." Psalm 119:41. "May your loving kindness also come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Psalm 119:50. "This is my comfort. This is my comfort. In the midst of affliction, where do you find comfort?" The psalmist said, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me." Psalm 119:93. "I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me." It reminded me of Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Your word I did find, and I ate of it, and it was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Remember that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. The word of God gives us strength. It revives us. It brings salvation. It brings comfort to us. It encourages us. It lifts us up. That's a blessing. The word of God brings reverence for God. It blesses us with a reverence for God. Listen to this, 119 verse 38. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. You want to learn to respect God more? You want to learn to love God and fear God and have reverence for Him? Read the Word of God. As you read the Word of God and you see what an amazing God we have, you can't help but respect Him. Psalm 119, 120. My flesh trembles for fear of you. Why? Why? Because I am afraid of your judgments. I have reverence for your judgments. I have fear for your judgments. I know that you are a just God, that I deserve judgment, but God has brought grace to me. Therefore, I fear, I tremble, because I recognize apart from God, I'm nothing. Liberty. God's word blesses us with liberty and freedom and confidence. Listen, this nonsense of our world of achieving self-esteem is garbage. There is no sense in the Bible of achieving self-esteem. None. That's psychobabble from this world. We are to have complete dependence upon God. We're not made to be independent. We're completely dependent upon God. And so where do we find our confidence? Not in ourselves, but in God. It's not, I can do all things that I want to do. I can do all things that I put my mind to. It's, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Our biggest problem is we depend upon ourselves. That's our problem. We want to make our own decisions, just like Adam and Eve in the garden. We want to do our own thing, and that's our problem. Dependency is what God wants for us because He knows that dependency upon Him is best for us. Listen to these words. Psalm 119:45. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. You know, we look at the law of God as a restriction, right? We're guilty like Adam and Eve. We read Genesis chapter 2 and we focus on the one tree that God said no. God said, don't eat of that tree. We focus on that tree. We do that in our lives. God says, don't do it. We focus on that. But God said, of every tree, of everything in the garden, you can freely eat. Listen, you can eat as much, wow, you can eat as much as you want of all the trees except for one. It's really liberty when we follow God. Because by disobeying His precept, Adam and Eve brought slavery to themselves. They became slaves of sin. Psalm 119, verse 80. May my heart be blameless in your statutes so that I will not be ashamed. The reason that many of us have guilt is because we're not obeying God. We're not reverencing His word. The word of God blesses us with guidance. One of our favorite verses. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A lamp to my feet each step. And a light to my path. God is interested in helping you every step of the way. He is also interested in helping you see the path that He wants you to go. Psalm 119:65. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Why? Because the word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The law of the Lord, thirdly, is worthy. Our response. How are we to respond to this word of God, the law of this perfect law of God, this perfect word of God that is blessing us all the time? How are we to respond to it? First of all, observance, obedience, adherence. These are all found in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 4. You have ordained, you have prescribed. You have given your precepts that we should keep them diligently. God has not given us His word just so that we can be tantalizing it. God has not given it to us so we can simply just look at it and be fascinated by it. God has given us his word so that we keep his word, so that we obey. God does not just speak so that we can hear his voice. God speaks that we might hear, listen, and obey him. Psalm 119:33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. Listen, here's commitment. And I shall observe it to the end. The reason that God sometimes does not speak to us is he knows we're not going to listen to him. I'm telling you, there have been times I have been guilty of that myself. And I would be, for a season, be asking God, oh God, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? And I know after I found out what God wanted, I realized that the reason there was a delay was not because of God, but because of me. Because when ultimately God gave the answer to me, I struggled with it. And the whole time God knew that. Sometimes God is silent because he knows that we're going to be disobedient. But the psalmist says, teach me, Lord. Lord, don't teach me in vain. Teach me, Lord, show me, speak to me, and show me your way, and I shall observe it. That should be a commitment that each one of us make today. God, whatever you want, whatever you say, whatever you direct, I will do it. Psalm 119:34, give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Observe it, look at it, keep it with all of our heart. Psalm 119:55, O Lord, I'll remember your name in the night and keep your law. Nighttime is a struggle sometimes, isn't it? Nighttime is a struggle. I even at times, when I'm up late, I'm a night person. I used to be a night person and a morning person. But as I've gotten older, I've realized that I sometimes am only a night person, not a morning person, or I'm only a morning person. As you get older, you recognize you can't handle both sometimes. You can't be both. And I have recognized many times in my life that there is a time for me to go to bed because temptation is lurking. He says, in the night, when no one else is watching, when my defenses are down, when I think that I'm all alone, I remember and I keep your law. We should put guards up around us, by the way. Psalm 119:56, this has become mine, that I observe your precepts. Verse 112, I have inclined my heart to perform, that is to do. To obey, to follow. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end. Committed to that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. O king, whatever you say, it doesn't matter. We're going to obey God. We're not going to bow down before you. We are going to stand by the word of God. Psalm 119:145. I cried with all my heart, answer me, O Lord, I will observe your statutes. We should obey the word of God. When God reveals things to us, when God speaks to us and he gives us understanding, he gives it with an idea that we are to obey it. We should treasure the word of God. We should treasure it. We should love it. We should long for it. We should cling to it. Cling to it as a prized possession. Psalm 119:11, your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Treasured. Hold it as valuable. Protect it. Regard it. However you want to look at it. Psalm 119, verse 20. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. This verse made me think of the idea. I love Saturday mornings. I love them. Because I study the Word of God. It's time set aside. There are times when I realize when I'm going to go home, man, I get to study tonight. I don't have a meeting tonight. I don't have something else going on. Tonight, I'm going to study the Word of God. And my soul is, in a sense, crushed. It longs for that time. And when something tries to interrupt it, man, it's difficult. It's difficult. Because I long to spend time in the Word of God. It reminded me of one of my professors. We were at a conference one time, and it was two of his students. One was a PhD student and one was myself, and it was Dr. John Selhammer. And I remember we were standing there and a man came up and started talking to him, not about scripture, just about sweet little nothings. And after we got alone, John said to us, he said, sometimes when I'm with someone like that, he said, I say, how can I get away from this person and get over there and talk about the Bible? It wasn't an unkind statement. It wasn't meanness coming out of him. He's one of the most humble men I've ever known. It was a passion for the Word of God. He longed to talk about the Word. Psalm 119:31, I cling, like static cling. Have you ever had your shirt you pulled out of the dryer and it stuck to you? I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. 119:40, behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. 113, I hate those who are double-minded. I despise those that are wishy-washy. I despise those that are hypocrites. They say they love the Lord, and yet they don't live that way. They say they love the Word of God, and yet they don't study the Word of God. He says, I despise these individuals. I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. 127, therefore I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. Do you love the Word of God above gold? If you had the opportunity to have all the gold of the earth, or to have the Word of God with the mindset that if you took the gold, you wouldn't have the Word of God, which one would you choose? I will tell you, I would choose the Word of God. Not because of me, but because of the Spirit of God. Wisdom. Plus, as you get older, you recognize there are things more valuable than gold. Are they not? More valuable than possessions of the earth. Yeah, because they shall decay. They shall pass away. But the word of the Lord lasts forever. Choose wisely. Listen to Psalm 119, 36 and 39, to me go hand in hand. My eyes shed streams of water because they do not keep your law. My zeal has consumed me because my adversaries have forgotten your words. You know, on a simple reading of this, you might say, oh, he's burdened for the lost because they don't keep the word of God. It's deeper than that, actually. His burden is for the word of God. He's broken because the word of God is defamed. He's broken because the word of God is rejected. He's broken because of the idea that he came to his own and his own received him not. Psalm 119:163, I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. The word of God is to be treasured and loved. The word of God is to bring rejoicing and delighting to our souls. Psalm 119:14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. It will show us how carnal we are. Do you rejoice? Are you stirred more in your heart from gaining riches of the world and things of the world, or from understanding things about the Word of God, which money can't buy? Psalm 119:24, your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. I would encourage you, I've said this many times before, the Word of God is the best counselor. The Word of God is the best counselor. The elders are here. The deacons are here. There are many mature people, believers in Christ in this church that want to encourage you, and we want to strengthen one another, but we can't take the place of the Word of God. I'm not going to move into your house. I'm not going to talk on the phone with you 24/7. I can't do that. No one can do that. Only the Word of God can be with you all the time. And the psalmist says, I treasure it. I long for it. It brings rejoicing to my heart because it is my counselor. And I would say to you, don't just use the Word of God as a counselor when you encounter difficulties in life, but use it as a preparation for the difficulties that you face. Spend time in the Word of God so that when you face those difficulties, you already have the answer. And you can say, thus saith the Lord in his word. Psalm 119, 111, I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. Psalm 119, 162, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. I remember back at seminary, times were tight. I had resigned my commission. I wasn't being paid anymore. And so I was on a very structured budget. I wasn't working. I was studying. I was there to go to school. So I was using my savings. And I remember on occasion when I would find a $5 bill or a $20 bill in a pocket and I would rejoice. I would say, found a $20 bill. How do you rejoice when the Word of God reveals itself to you? I rejoice more over the Word of God. There have been times that I have literally shouted in my office, "Praise the Lord," as I've uncovered a great treasure in the Word of God. And God has given me understanding. God has spoken to my heart as no person can speak to me. It brings joy and rejoicing. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Your commandments are good. Meditation, regard, consideration. Psalm 119 deals with these issues, that we are to respond with the idea of meditating on the Word of God, regarding and considering the Word of God, having preference for the Word of God. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I will consider your ways. I will meditate on the Word of God. I will hide it in my heart. I will gain understanding from your Word. And when I encounter decisions I have to make in life, I will regard your ways. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Verse 23, even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. That's freedom. Even when my oppressors come against me, even when people ridicule me and talk about me, what will I be found doing? Meditating on the Word of God. It reminds me of the Old Testament when they were trying to thwart the building of the wall. And he said, we don't have time to mess with y'all. We got work to do. The psalmist said, I will meditate on the Lord, on the law of the Lord. Verse 30, I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. Verse 48, and I shall lift up my hands to your commandment, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Verse 83, though I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your statutes. That is, even though I become weathered, worn out, I won't forget your statutes. Verse 95, the wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. 109, my life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The law, the Word of God, is more valuable to me than my life, because once again, I am dependent upon the Word of God. My life depends upon it. 161, princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. We're called to trust and believe and hope in the Word of God. That is our hope. We were at a funeral yesterday. What hope do we have? Christ. That's why almost at every funeral I've ever been to that was a Christian funeral, they read from 1 Thessalonians, the hope that we have in Christ, that he's going to return for his people. Where's our hope at? It's a faith in Christ, in God, in his Word. Psalm 119:42. So I will have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust your word. 43, do not take your word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for, it's literally the word, I hope for or hope in your ordinances. Verse 49, remember the word to your servant in which you have made me hope. My hope is in the Word of God. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments, God. Love it. May those who fear you see me and be glad, because I hope or wait in your word. Trust. Trust the word. You can't trust what you don't know, by the way. But I would say to you, the more you read the Word of God and God gives you understanding, the more hope you will have, the more faith you will have, the more confidence you will have. Finally, we are to proclaim praise and worship. Psalm 119:46. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed. Open your mouth about the Word of God. When someone asks you, oh, why are you so happy? Don't just say, well, that's just the kind of person I am. Give them a reason that you're happy, why you have joy. It should be from the Word of God. Psalm 164, I love this. Listen to the heart of the psalmist. 7 times a day I praise you. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. 172. Let my tongue sing of your word. I love the music here. It's scripture. It's theological teaching. The songs that we choose are specific. We choose them because we believe what they say. They're not just words. They're truth. They're the Word of God. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteous. Let me close with this idea. Psalm 119:176, the final verse, has a very interesting ending to it. Let my soul live that I may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. I'm so thankful that although we wander, that God seeks us. We don't find God. He comes to us. I love what was said yesterday at the funeral. That Christy's mom didn't go to heaven because she loved God. She went to heaven because God loved her. That was the best statement of the whole day. And my heart was knit together with my Reformed brother. That's truth. We love him because he first loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus is the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of all creation. I'm glad that God seeks us even when we wander away. And so that brings me to 2 questions just to close Psalm 119. Have you gone astray from his word? Have you drifted from the word of God? Not just have you drifted from loving the word of God like you should and meditating on the word of God like you should and studying the word of God like you should and reading the word of God like you should, but have you drifted from the content of the message? Have you disregarded his direction? Have you disregarded his directives, his commandments, his statutes, his ordinances? Have you disregarded his law that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Have you drifted, gone astray from the word? Will you commit to loving his word? What are you going to do? Are you going to continue to drift? Are you going to continue to disobey? Is it fair to say that's ridiculous? That is nonsense? That the Spirit of God, surely, if that's your response, no, I think I'll stray a little longer. Surely, if you have the Spirit of God in you, surely there must be conviction in your heart at that moment. Are you going to commit today to loving his word? That's the question before us today. What are we going to do with the word of God? I would pray that God would give us understanding, that he would open our hearts and our eyes to understand and know the word of God, and that we would treasure it, that we would obey it, that we would proclaim it. Father, thank you so much for your word. It indeed is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. And maybe there are some here that are struggling with a direction in life, some decisions they have to make. I pray that you would guide them each and every step and show them the right path. Father, would you enlarge our hearts? Would you open our eyes? Would you give us understanding? Would you help us, Lord, to obey you in all of our ways? And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.